You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
South Hill is the area of Vancouver centered around the Fraser Street Shopping District, running from 41st to 51st. The commercial area was established at the beginning of last century, but the history of South Hill is really about the people who came from all over the world to live there. From the early Brits to the post-war Europeans to Indians, Asians, and Filipinos, all have contributed to the multicultural character of the community. An innovative new website celebrates the stories of the people who live in South Hill. Filmmaker Nettie Wild is one of the people involved in creating the website Inside Stories, and she joins me in the studio this morning. Hi, and welcome, Nettie.
Good morning.
How did the idea of the site come about?
The neighbors, South Hill neighbors, approached me to make a documentary about three generations of immigrants spanning 60 years. And I kind of went, tiny budget, huge subject. And then I said, I want to, as an artist, delve into the web and create a piece of web art. If you're willing to come with me, my hunch is that the form that the web offers, multi-platform, non-linear, could be perfect for this. But it's new to me. And if you want to jump off an artistic cliff with me, then let's go. And they said yes. And one of the provisos right off the bat was, I said, you know, we have to get a web designer involved right from the get-go so we know what the devil we're doing. And that's when I brought in Jeremy Mendez. And he, in turn, thank heavens, brought his fabulously talented sister, who's a photographer, Shannon Mendez, and the three of us together with this really radical out there group of neighbors in South Hill created a piece of art.
It's pretty sweet, I have to say, as somebody who's a big consumer of things on the web and also produces for the web as well, I thought it was a really fabulous site. So I'm going to ask you to describe what we see on the homepage.
Well, first of all, the inspiration came from the task that was set before us, which was, how in the world is it possible through a website to break down barriers between people? So if you've got this huge mix and mashup of different cultures, there's lots of things that stand in the way: language, culture, fear, all that stuff. And we started to think, you know that feeling when you're driving down a street and you look at all the houses and all the doors are closed, but you know if you could get behind those doors, every house has a high-stakes human drama. And so we came up with a concept that would be, what about if we took various different characters and where they lived or where they worked, and we took photographs of those and photo-stitched them together and created a virtual street. It's not Fraser Street per se. It's like a neighborhood street that has some shops from Fraser Street, and it has the John Oliver High School, and it has various different houses. But when you click on each one of them, a character comes out. And when you click on that character, you go into their backstory. And that takes us to the basic premise of the piece. We started to realize we were working with this. It was a question, and it was, if you knew your neighbor's backstory, would you relate to them differently? And we think the answer is a great big yes. Mm. And so that's what we've created, is a way for the neighbors to come out and go, hey, guess what? I'm Ben Kwan. I speak broken English. You don't know me other than the guy who mends your pants in the tailor shop. But what about if you knew that I was born the year the Japanese invaded China, in China, and I suffered through 8 years of starvation, and then the revolution hit, and then we had to flee, and then I learned how to become a tailor in Hong Kong, and then I ended up on Fraser Street. Would you relate to Ben differently?
And there's this, as you're describing it, there's a kind of a sense of seriousness of you know, going in and finding out somebody's kind of backstory, but But the interface itself is quite light in a way that
it's playful.
Yeah. So you sort of have this. It's almost like a facade, like what you'd imagine cardboard cutouts or something like that of the buildings that sort of move back and forth.
Yeah, so it's fun to say to people, you know, check out Ben, or you know, he's right next to so and so's house. You know, go to the site, and if you want to drop in on Sherry for morning tea, she's the last house before the park. And so, you know, we want to get people to play with the site. And incidentally, we're also inviting people to submit their own story. So there's a great big submit your stories button. And if you go there and click on that, there's a whole bunch of fields that will come up, and you can, it will ask you if you were born in Canada or away. And depending on how you answer that, other questions will come up. And ultimately, we're asking you to write your story. And when you submit that story, it'll come up in the park. And you don't have to be from South Hill. You can be, you know, dialing in from Germany or South Africa or Surrey.
Great. And there's this great little device along there that sort of has like different, like where you come from on the bottom. It sort of comes up on a bottom.
Yeah, the deal there is because it's all about home and a sense of home. So, for instance, if you said, I was born in Hong Kong, and you wrote that in, it comes up on the left side of the slider, and then it says, where's your neighborhood now? And if it happens to be South Hill or New York City, you put that in, and then it comes up on the right side, and then you're asked with the slider, but where's your home in your heart? And some people, it might still be in Hong Kong. Some people might be, oh, it's definitely here. And some people, right in between. So it's a about that whole experience of how our neighborhoods are changed by the people who move into them. And also, it doesn't leave out the people who have been, for instance, in a neighborhood for three generations, and the neighborhood has changed up around them. We want to hear those stories too. First Nations people, for instance.
Well, let's jump in and hear a story so right people on. Will have a bit of a sense of what we're talking to. So one of the stories that that we chose this morning from the website is of Sherry Lou. Do you want to just tell
us? Yeah, Sherry, twice a week, gets together with her next-door neighbor, and she teaches her neighbor English, and her neighbor teaches her Mandarin, and they have tea. So let's drop in for a cup of tea.
Right.
Red.
Right.
Not ride.
Red. Right.
Good.
Barn. Barn.
Yeah, you have to pronounce the N at the end. Barn.
Barn.
In the field.
In the field.
Okay, when I retired, I decided to delve into my passion of learning new languages. Some of my neighbors and I got together, and we meet twice a week. Helen teaches us Mandarin, and I teach English. We have a lot of fun. We laugh a lot, chattering away and laughing at the funny sounds we produce. For the people learning English, L's and R's are a problem, and finishing off their words correctly, adding the S's, adding the ED sounds. For us learning Chinese, we have the greatest problem with learning how to pronounce the S sounds. There are so many. They all sound the same to me anyway. I will repeat a word exactly as I think I hear it, but I'm told, no, do it differently. And yeah, eventually, sometimes I get it.
That's remarkable. You just feel like you're sitting right in there and having tea with them.
Yeah, and she has another neighbor, actually, who's a part of that group, who's Japanese, who's learning Mandarin and English. And, you know, Sherry's an intriguing woman. She's from Dutch background. She retired, and this liberated her time to reach out to her neighbors more. And so this is happening, you know, who knew that that was happening twice a week in behind that particular closed door?
Now, the stories, we just heard the audio part there, but the stories are accompanied by a photo essay. It's not video. Why did you use that format?
Well, Originally, we had thought, I had thought that it would be easier in terms of loading and creating technically an easier format. But at the end of the day, we found that it was elegant. It was lovely. We stuck with black and white photos. It allows you to really listen up to the stories. It was something that we were able to use the formidable talent of Shannon Mendez. And it just felt, in terms of that platform that we were moving into, that it was more unique than just going with live footage. Live footage would have worked too. It would have been a different animal, but it's a kind of elegant mix up. So we have what we refer to as a multi-platform interactive website. You go into a Flash setup in terms of the original interface, which looks like a photo stitch environment, and then once you click on that, you in fact go into these little mini, really they're video documentaries, but within that we're dealing with still photographs and sound.
Yeah, I found it very effective and compelling, and I think sort of intimate in a way with by the way that the pictures were. Not to say that video, you know, that video couldn't do that in a different way, but yeah. it was almost like you were also looking at family photographs or something like that. There was that kind of layer to it for me. Anyway, it was great. How do you hope that people will interact with the website?
Well, first of all, we want them to go to the website, which you can easily do. If you can't remember a website URL, just dial in South Hill Inside Stories, and that'll take you right to the website. The big thing is to take a look at what a delightful mashup our cities are becoming, and revel in the complexity of it. And then the second thing is to contribute to it yourself. And the third thing is to turn your neighbors on to it. And that's why we're having the event on November the 3rd at the Vancouver Public Library, is that we all have a really strong belief that it doesn't matter what kind of community you create online, nothing takes away from getting real community together and warm bodies in a room to talk, to react to those stories, and to move the kind of glorious experiment of tearing down those barriers further. And we're also at the Vancouver Public Library, we're going to be showing the some of the stories, and then bringing the storytellers out and talking about the process of working. The South Hill neighbors have reached out to artists specifically to use art to break down these barriers. So we're going to talk about Inside Stories and how it did that, and also talk about other art projects that South Hill is doing as a part of this. Because, you know, we took a second step with this. We took our inspiration from the photographer JR in Europe, and we took stills from the Inside Stories project. We blew them up 10 foot by 8 foot, and we put them up in the alleys around Fraser Street. So we turned Fraser Street into a gallery which profiled the people who live there. And the South Hill neighbors pasted them up themselves. And now Instant Coffee is doing a fabulous art installation just off in an alley just off Fraser Street, in which they've painted it this riot of hot pink and black zebra stripes. It's really wild. It's like you walk by, you break your neck. You do such a kind of whiplash at this thing. So they'll be there talking about that. Renee Van Helm's done murals. It's a wild neighborhood in how it's reaching out to artists. So that's what the November 3rd is all about, is about how art can change up the world. Mm. And we're going to be really getting into how we did Inside Stories and why, and, you know, maybe how other neighborhoods could get on board.
Extremely intriguing. Makes me want to, like, hop on my bicycle and go down there right now. Let's listen to one more story. This is Claudia.
The prophecy, when Adam's flesh and Adam's bones...
I even feel so tired of speaking English. I tell my kids, I don't want to hear a word of English anymore today, but which is impossible because they like speaking English among themselves. But for them, it's not an effort, right? They don't need to think. It's natural. But for me, still, sometimes I need to find the right words. Yeah. When you know someone, I never know how they are really inside, right? People smile, but I find so difficult to really get the true person. I don't know. For me, that's really difficult. When you have the cultural background, you are able to do it, right? Even with movements, the way people speak, the way people look at you, whatever. But when you are transported to another culture, you lose that ability too. And then you are lost. I think immigrating is like living a different life, in a different people, in a different person's skin. It's completely different. You have to switch all you learn to something different. And then there's no choice. You have to adapt. So sometimes it's so tiring.
Okay, now my turn. How did you meet the first people who came to tell your stories? How did
we find them?
Yeah, how did you find those stories?
It depended. Some people came to us through our fabulous producer and community organizer, Susan Fendrick Findlay, who is a producer that any artist would die for. She totally gets art. And so when she took on this project, she set about to find people in her neighborhood who had interesting backstories. She just started to ask. In some cases, with Ben the Tailor, I fell into the Pitt Taylor shop with my stills camera and started filming him, and he turned out to be a showboat. He just loved it. So it really depended. But the thing that's really interesting about Claudia's story is that if you go to the website, you will notice you never see her face and you never see her children's face. And that is because she goes to a very vulnerable place in her story. And she was willing to tell the story because she thought that lots of immigrants face this incredible loneliness within that space where you're not speaking in your mother tongue and you're trapped. And she didn't want her people back home to know that she had so much sadness. And she didn't want her professional life here to be kind of tinged with that. But she still wanted to tell her story. So we said, okay, we'll shoot it in a way that creates safe space for you, because it is an important story. And you know, we had other stories that got away on us because people's fear was so deep. And one man told me, you know, fear sits on my shoulder. Every day I carry it on my shoulder. And he was frightened of the government of the country that he came from. And he said, you know, this makes me a conservative Canadian. I will never speak out. And I was sad to lose that story because I think this is it opened a window into something troubling and deep. On the other hand, people like Jinder Johal, who is the head librarian at the South Hill Library, she went to a very deep and vulnerable place and was prepared to do that on camera because of where she was in her life. And, you know, her story is astounding, and where she was willing to go with us, where this young person at 8 arrives at the Vancouver airport from having come from a village in India. Her dad has been here for 7 years working as an immigrant parent. She meets him virtually for the first time. And what she discovers is someone who is lonely and has turned to alcohol because of that. And so it's a very tough story. But he does one extraordinary thing in the middle of a very dysfunctional, spooky time. And that's that he takes her to the library and she finds solace in books. So Jinder, because she's willing to go to that spooky place, she's willing to tell us about how scary it was to wonder if he was going to come home at night. And if he didn't, they were all alone in a country where they didn't speak the language, depending on a man who may not come home that night for a living. To do that was to open up a door to her story that lets
lots of people from lots of cultures in who go, okay, that happened to her and she's from India. I know that story. Mm-hmm. I've lived that story too. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's extraordinary about gender is that those books led her to a career where she's now the head librarian in the same library that her dad took her to. So it's got this lovely circle to it. These stories, how did that story come to us? Susan thought, Ginger'd have an interesting story. And we dropped in and, man, she lays out this huge, high-stakes, emotional story where she's prepared to be vulnerable. And it was hard for her to tell it. You know, afterwards, we cut it all together, and she came back and went, oh, my God.
What have I said?
You know? Yeah. And so we screened it again for her and her husband and her brother, and her brother was so straightforward. He said, yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. You know? You've told it well. And, you know, I'm hoping that for Ginger, she'll be there on the 3rd to talk about this and about this process and about, you know, I've encouraged her, talk about the tough stuff. It is hard to sit down in front of a microphone and open up. But if you do, look what happens. People really lean forward into your story.
Well, it's a remarkable project, and we'll tell people about how to go to the event on November 3rd, and also where to find the website.
So, yeah, Eventbrite. You have to sign up at Eventbrite, and I think you've got it on your website, right?
Yeah, I do. So I'll give that information. But thank you for coming in, Nettie, and congratulations on the project. It's really something else.
Right on. Thank you.
I've been speaking with filmmaker Nettie Wild. She's one of the artists involved in creating Inside Stories, and you can find the website at southhillcommunity.ca/insidestories. You can also find links to the site and to register for the launch from our website, coopradio.org/redeye. And the launch will be, as Nettie has said, at Vancouver Public Library Central Branch at 7 p.m. on November 3rd. And you can get tickets by going through that link on our website. That'll get you
right
to
on.
The event.
It's free, too.
It's free.